Pastor Greg Locke, it's always great to have you here on Charisma. And we just had to reach out to you because you posted something on your Facebook just the other day that was a bold stand with Israel. What inspired you to write this post and to really get out there?
Well, the more Bible I read and the time that I went to Jerusalem as of recent days and really looking forward to going back, but a lot of the flights are canceling right now, I've just really had Israel on my heart and on my mind. And just to see the biblical ignorance that is floating around in the church world, especially the American church world, anybody that's really critical right now of what's happening in Israel has three problematic elements. And I didn't even put this in the post. Number one, they're ignorant of Bible history and prophecy. Number two, they care far too much about what Twitter is telling them because it's really bogus nonsense. And number three, they've never made a trip to Israel and they have no idea what they're talking about because they want to talk about the fact that, you know, the Jews are the occupiers and they're the oppressors. But when you look at a map, if you look at red and green, as it were, there's a lot of red where Islam has overtaken the Middle East. And there's one little small sliver of green that would represent the size of New Jersey, if that. And all of that land has been deeded to the Jewish people by God. The book of Numbers, the book of Deuteronomy tell us step by step, line by line, place by place, where all of those stones have been placed by the sovereign God of the universe that gives them the title deed to the land. And so Israel's a very hot button issue right now. I don't think it should be. But in the last days, there's going to be more and more and more hatred towards Jerusalem and towards the people of God. And there's all of these people at this point that now say, well, you know, they crucified Jesus, yada, 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 shmada. Why would Christians stand with Israel? Why would we not? We can't even be Christians without their blindness. Blindness in part happened to Israel. Jesus came unto his own received him not, John 1:11. And then he plainly says in verse 12 that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we would have nothing without the blindness in part that has happened to Israel. And so I could talk about this for hours, but here's the legalities of it, right? Everything we have from God has a Jewish fingerprint on it. A Jewish Bible, a Jewish Savior. Jesus is not going to come back to Washington, D.C. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives. He's not going to recreate a new Washington or a new Tennessee. He's going to make a new Jerusalem. So to say that God has cast off his people, to put it in the words of the Apostle Paul, God forbid. Has God cast off his people? No, but here's the problem. The weak, woke church has cast off the people of God. And so we're going to find out that the number one, and let me emphasize in this interview, the number one last days issue that will separate churches in America and around the world will be as to whether they stand with Israel or not. Everything else is not even going to matter. Who casts out demons, who don't cast out demons, who's Baptist, who's Pentecostal, who speaks in tongues, who speaks in hillbilly. Nobody's going to care about any of that. The one way we're going to know which church is weak and which church is strong is the church that stands with Israel. And it's really that simple.
You know, Pastor Greg, it is very simple like that. And I've been really confused by the amount of people that I thought would stand with Israel when it came time to it that have backed up and actually are against Israel, whether they are pro Hamas, which is kind of like another step, but they're definitely more separatist. So they don't want to get involved with it. They don't want to have anything to support Israel. So they're taking that third option of, I don't want to be a part of it. They're bad. And so where did this come from? Because a lot of the people that were America First a few years ago, they've kind of taken America First and turned it into something else, I think.
Yeah. You know what? I think there's a few answers to that question. Here's the biggest one and probably the most controversial and maybe a little bit surprising to some people that I would say this, but the one thing that has made people hate Israel is the nonsense of the QAnon conspiracy movement. It has absolutely eviscerated people's discernment and their judgment. They've seen some cute YouTube video about somebody that says, oh, these aren't really Jewish people. They're the synagogue of Satan. And they have no theological context for why they're saying what they're saying. And so they just want to sound cute. And so you got Christians now that say things like this, from the land to the sea, Palestine will be free. You realize when you go to Israel, you don't just say that casually. You know why? Because what that means is the eradication of Israel. That only happens when you wipe the Jews off the map. And we do know that there is a country that has already tried to do that. And in our public schools, they're trying to say, well, the Holocaust never happened. No, over 6 million Jews were gassed. And that's why Benjamin Netanyahu gets up last week and he very boldly says, never again is right now. And people are like, oh, you know, Netanyahu works for the deep state, whatever, whatever, whatever. Well, God don't work for the deep state, and God's still for the nation of Israel. And Jew haters cannot be God lovers. Okay, I want to say that one more time. Jew haters cannot be God lovers. It's impossible, because the nation of Israel is the chosen people of God. Think about this. I taught our men this morning at our 6 o'clock Monday morning Bible study. The nation of Israel is the only nation in the history of the world. We're talking about a 4,000-year-old nation. Now take that into understanding that America, that we love, is less than 300 years old. And so we think we're all the, you know, we're the Don Juan of the world. We're 300 years old, okay? The Jewish nation, Israel, is 4,000 years old. They're the only nation on the planet, okay? People can Google this. They're the only nation on the planet that still speaks the same language, spends the same money, and worships the same God. They're the only nation that still does the exact same thing that they've always done. Now, individually, do Jews have to be saved the same way we do? Yes. Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That dispensation is what's happening right now. Jews have to repent and believe the gospel, or they'll go to the same hell that everybody else goes to. But nationally, they are under the banner of God's covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. God said, I'll bless them that bless you, I'll curse them that curse you. That goes for a nation. That goes for a church. That goes for an individual. It will not bode well for the American church or the American economy or the government when we turn against the nation of Israel. And know this, prophetically, there is going to come a time that every military on the earth, including ours, is going to turn against Israel. And it is then that you'll find out who the real church is, because come hell or high water, I'm going to fight to the death for the Jewish people.
You know, Pastor Greg, I love that you're calling out people that were, let's just say, the whole QAnon thing, or the Q, whatever you want to call it, that conspiracy theory and everything. You called that out just a moment ago. Yeah. Why are so many people falling for these conspiracies or these deceptions or these crazy things? I mean, there are things that are real. But why are people looking for all these things as opposed to the Word of God?
Well, I think it's because they are looking. I think they're bored with the Bible, so they got to make up stuff, right? But when you start reading the Bible, you begin to realize, wow, prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Now, understandably, I have touted some things that may be considered QAnon, right? Certainly, I believe in sex trafficking and all this Epstein nonsense and Pizzagate. All of that stuff is real. But the problem is, I think where the church... Let me say this. I think where Greg Locke kind of missed the mark a little bit in the last few years, and of course, we've been out of the whole political realm, but when it was really hot, you know, 17, 18, 2020 especially, is because we couldn't separate the truth of Trump from what was happening with the QAnon. So the QAnon crowd came along, and then automatically all the Trump train people that I was on were automatically put into the QAnon conspiracy theory. And so now these people are like believing all sorts of nonsense. And so as long as Twitter says it, as long as some cute viral video on Facebook or TikTok says it, then, oh, wow, this needs to be good. Nobody checks the facts. Nobody verifies history. Nobody knows anything about the Bible. I am shocked at the ignorance of pastors when it comes to the nation of Israel, because they have, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah, it's not affecting us, so why would it matter? Oh, it is affecting you. And I promise you, it is unbelievably, horrifically going to affect your church. Because if we do not stand now with the nation of Israel, know this, God is not going to stand by any of those churches. He's just not. The judgment and curse of the Lord is upon any individual, group, church, or nation that stands against the Jewish people. That doesn't mean I accept their theological position. I don't. But at the end of the day, theologically, the end result is the same. And the end result is the Jewish people will look upon him whom they have pierced, and a nation will be born in a day. And blindness in part is what has happened to them now until the fullness of the Gentiles come. And once God has fully allowed every Gentile that's going to get saved in his plan of grace and sovereignty, then I'm telling you, blindness is going to be removed from the eyes of the Jewish people, and they are going to be saved. And I'm going to be able to say, Told you. You should not have turned on the people of God. They've always been the people of God. They always will. There's a reason that the Bible, and I know I'm preaching a long way around the barn, there's a reason the Bible always says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one time does your Bible ever say Abraham, Ishmael, and Jacob. Abraham, Ishmael, and Jacob. So the problem that we have in the world right now can be boiled down to one simple phrase, and nobody wants to make it this simple, but it really is. You ready for this? Sibling rivalry. You can choose Isaac or you can choose Ishmael. You got two brothers that don't get along, and you got to figure out which side of the family tree you're going to hang on to, right? And I stand with Isaac 1,000%.
Wow. You know, you just mentioned about pastors not knowing the biblical roots. There's this thing called replacement theology that has crept into churches all over the place. And I've seen that pop up so much on social media, again, with people that I wasn't expecting for. I wasn't expecting that to be the case.
Yeah.
Tell me about this replacement theology and what are some signs that we can protect ourselves from?
Basically, if you boil it down, replacement theology tells us that the church replaced Israel. That is utter nonsense for a lot of reasons, because the church and Israel are absolutely, completely separate. Even 1 Corinthians 10:23 talks about the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God, three separate entities, right? I know God broke down the middle wall of partition, the book of Galatians, and now, you know, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile. Spiritually, we understand that. But practically, historically, and prophetically, there is a Jew and there is a church. So replacement theology is bad theology. It's poor theology. 9 times out of 10, people that believe in replacement theology are covenant theologians. They're hyper-Calvinists, which I find to be a very interesting phrase because I've never met one hyper about anything. But at the end of the day, replacement theology is a slap in the face to God and to Israel and to the Jewish nation, because the church is its own entity. We are its own organism, right? But the Jews at this moment, blindness has happened to them. The church is doing what the church needs to do. And then eventually, both the church and the Jews will be grafted in together. And we're all going to live together on a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. But right now, we are totally separate. To say that the church replaced, you know, Israel, and now we're under all of those same covenants that they were under, it's hodgepodge nonsense. You have to be wonderfully good at biblical gymnastics to bend the text to make it say something that it does not in any way at all say. So it's extraordinarily dangerous theology.
So Pastor Greg, how do we help people that are affected by this replacement theology? I mean, you just took a very bold stand and you would say, you know, I will even disfellowship people that are, yes. I mean, yeah, that's a very bold stand right there.
Right.
Is there a way that we can win people back?
Prophetically, people are going to hate Israel. I mean, anti-Semitism is on the rise. And listen, you talk about deliverance ministry, it's a demon. It's a principality. Anti-Semitism is a demonic doctrine. But here's really the only way we can combat the idiocy. You know what it is? Ignore it and do not care what they say, because they're going to bully you. They're going to hate you. They're going to try to burn our tent down. I mean, we are going to receive a barrage of hate from people that do not even understand Hamas. They don't understand Islam, nor do they understand the Jewish culture and the covenants of the Bible. They don't understand any of this stuff. If you talk to 95% of the people on these college campuses and you ask them, why are you protesting? They get the porky pig syndrome, but they have no idea what they are protesting. And now you have, for example, to show you how graphic this is, you have the LGBTQ community that are holding up pro-Hamas signs when here's what Hamas would do. Throw them off of a rooftop, because they are far more extraordinarily violent towards the homosexual lifestyle than any Christian follower of Jesus would ever even imagine to be. And so you have people that are supporting a cause that would literally kill them, smile at them, and act like everything's okay. And you have Christians that are talking about, you know, we want to be pro-Palestine because Palestinians are oppressed. People have got to stop believing this nonsense. If they've never been there, I don't even want to listen to what they have to say. But if they cannot show me that in the Bible, okay, if you look at Gaza in the Bible, you will find out that Gaza was a land that was given to the Israelis by God. Rafa, every place that they are now fighting over has been given by God to the Jewish people. And yet we want to say, oh, they're the people that are the occupiers. They're not the occupiers. They're simply occupying what God gave them. And the Islamic regime is occupying the rest of the Middle East. And it's just really that simple. And you know what? I just want to say this one thing. I keep going. But when I got to Israel for the first time, I was shocked at the vegetation, because all you ever think of is, you know, wilderness, desert, desert, desert. Mark Twain, over 100 years ago, when he wrote about Israel, he said it was the most barren wasteland he had ever seen. But if you go there today, it looks like a jungle. You know why? Because Zechariah said when the people of God begin to move back to the homeland, that it would begin to sprout in the desert, that trees would begin to grow back, that vegetation would begin to blossom, that streams would break out in the desert. That's such a well-known phrase. There's a whole devotional manual for many, many years called Streams in the Desert. People don't even know why that's there. It's a prophetic overtone that when the people of God started moving back to the homeland, that God began to grow it again. So people are like, well, you know, they're just a bunch of fake Jews. Let me tell you something. The ground don't grow for fake Jews, okay? The ground don't grow for fake people. The ground grows prophetically because the people of God are returning to the land.
Amen. The people of God are returning to the land. And there is such a prophetic thing that's happening. And we're seeing prophecy being fulfilled day by day by day, especially as we're getting closer and closer to the end. Yeah. What do you see happening next? I mean, Israel's at war right now against Hamas. There's a lot of things happening in this world that is just, it's looking like, what chapter of Revelation are we in right now?
Right.
What are you seeing with that, Pastor Greg?
Well, I mean, you know, you got the whole red heifer situation. You got the third temple situation, all of which I believe in, all of which I believe is very important. But, you know, we talk about, oh, man, Israel's at war. Israel's at war. Israel. Well, according to the news media, they're at war. But here's what people won't tell you. Israel could have wiped Hamas off the map 12 hours ago, and it would have been a blip on the radar. But because of their grace, they're the only nation I've ever heard of that will take 3 days and go into a town with helicopters and jets and bomb the place with leaflets, not bombs. Not missiles, not bullets, with leaflets telling the people, please get out. This is the time we're going to bomb. This is where we're going to bomb. Please, women and children and civilians, don't be a casualty. Get out, get out, get out. Show me another country on the planet that would warn people and drop leaflets before they start dropping bombs. And so here's the problem. When Israel is attacked, right? All of a sudden, the world, the church, oh my goodness, let's stand with Israel. But when Israel responds, weak people start backing up. Oh, they don't have the right to defend themselves. Are you kidding me? Have you read half of the Old Testament? Of course they have a right to defend themselves. And so we hear there's a war, there's a war, there's a war. But when I went there, look, it is the most peaceful place on the planet. But here's what I know. Isaiah 55 says, to the Jewish nation, in the last days, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We love to quote that for ourselves, and that's okay. It's a great verse. You know, charismatic world loves that verse. I preach on that verse. But that verse only has one interpretation. It's for the Jewish people. So here's what I know. If every nation in the world starts shooting at Jerusalem right now, let me tell you the safest place to be, in Jerusalem. Because even Michael the archangel, according to Daniel chapter 12, has been dispatched to be the angel that protects the nation of Israel. The one angel of God that is used to protect the nation of Israel. And so there's not a tank on the planet. There's not a ballistic missile system. There's not any religion. There's nothing that's going to happen that is ever going to wipe the Jews off the map. Because the biggest miracle in your whole Bible, the biggest miracle, more than the Red Sea, more than any of it, is spelled J-E-W, Jew. The fact that they still exist is God's testimony that I'm going to keep my covenant no matter who turns their guns on us. So I don't care if it's Netanyahu. I don't care if it's some other Yahoo. At the end of the day, I'm here to tell you, God is going to protect his people. And if the church, if so-called believers do not want to stand with Israel, I'm not going to waste my life trying to argue and pastor those kind of people. I'm going to stand where God stands. I'm drawing a line in the sand in the evangelical movement right now, and I'm saying, you get on God's side or you stay on the woke side. The woke side stands with Hamas and fake, you know, Palestinian oppression. It's not real, okay? What we stand on is the side of God, and the side of God is, you bless my people, I will bless you. You curse my people, I will curse you. That seems so, you know, very simplistic. It seems so down to earth. I don't know why people can't get it. We're trying to make the issue so much harder than what it really is. So you can either stand with God's people or you can stand against God's people. If you choose to stand against God's people, I don't have time for you. I just don't. At the end of the day, I'm not preaching for you. I don't need your money. I don't need your book deals. I don't need your movie deals. You don't have to come to our church. This is the issue that I will die over. I will draw a line in the sand and say, absolutely not. There's some things that we can fuss about. There's some things we can fight about. And then there's some things that I will disfellowship myself with you over. And the nation of Israel just happens to be one of them, because I think it's the most prophetic issue of our day.
Amen. It is a very prophetic issue. And the fact that Charisma is glad to be partnering with you, and we stand with Israel, so you don't have to worry about book deals going south with us. So, Pastor Greg, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today here on Charisma.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.